This is Akashwani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on India's preparedness to mitigate tsunami-related disasters. The participants are Lieutenant General Retired Syed Ata Hasnain, Member, National Disaster Management Authority, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
General Hasnain, it's a pleasure to have you with us on Akashwani. A warm welcome.
Thank you very much, and Jai Hind to all our listeners.
General Hasnain, today marks the culmination of 20 years of the catastrophic Indian Ocean tsunami of 2004. Would you please elaborate, are we today better off than we were in 2004? At least about knowing what the phenomenon called tsunami is and what are the hazards of it.
And no doubt that's a very good way of beginning our discussion. Because even in 2004, on this particular day, even I did not understand the meaning of tsunami. And in fact, I did rush to my dictionary to have a look because there was no Google search at that time. And I came to know that it's supposedly a wall of water which suddenly emerges from the sea and inundates the coastline. And the cause of that is usually an undersea earthquake. That's exactly what had happened in 2004. I think since then, first of all, the world of information has moved on. People are better aware in the last 20 years. People are Googling, if nothing else, and today artificial intelligence is all available. So from a knowledge angle, definitely, I think awareness angle too, we are far better off. But what needs to be understood is how resilient is India to this kind of a phenomenon if it has to occur again. The issue is that it doesn't happen every other year. This happens once in a couple of hundred years. But if it does happen, like any catastrophic earthquake, the effects of it are phenomenal, absolutely devastating.
So can you recount the key events and impacts of the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami?
First of all, I think it was a very nice Christmas day on 2004, 25th of December. And the next morning, people were just waking up from the slumber of Christmas day, which they had celebrated, and suddenly along the bed of the Indian Ocean, the area alongside Indonesia, particularly the region of Indonesia called Aceh, a 1,000 kilometer long trench virtually burst open. And it spewed out energy to such an extent, I mean, one can imagine when 1,000 kilometers of a trench suddenly bursts, what kind of an energy is emanates. And that had its effect onshore, most of the establishments in the Andaman and Nicobar Islands, in Indonesia, in Thailand, were shaken up. People all came running out of their houses. It happened in the Kar Nicobar Islands, where we had the Air Force station of the Indian Air Force. People all felt the terrible rumbling which happened, the devastating sounds which came too, which they tell me. No one knew anything about what would follow. It was just an earthquake which they saw or felt in the areas around the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. 20 minutes later, suddenly everyone noticed that the water from the coastline was receding, almost a distance of 1 to 1.5 kilometers. And it was actually revealing some startling colors of the corals in that area. And so a lot of people rushed to have a look at the corals. No one knew what really this meant. Essentially, in scientific terms, it meant that a huge mass of water had been pushed out by this energy of this earthquake from deep in the ocean. And that volume of water was rushing towards the coastlines in these areas. And because of that, the water on the surface was receding to give way to this wave which was coming. Surprisingly, human beings are not in a position to be able to discern this. But lots of people in the Andaman and Nicobar Islands tell me that the local aborigines, the animals, the birds in that area, all sensed, and they were making a beeline for higher ground, while none of the human beings could. 20 minutes later, all these areas were inundated by a huge volume of water, something to the tune of 15 to 20 meters high. That's what the wave was, and caused immense devastation. in this area. And then, of course, the tsunami, because of the kind of energy which had been generated, the water continued to flow from here towards the Indian coastline and the Sri Lankan coastline. So that's about 1,200 kilometers away. And it went at almost 700 kilometers an hour and hit the Chennai, Odisha areas, Sri Lanka, in a matter of 2 hours. And in these 2 hours, no one could generate enough awareness to tell people what to do, how to get away from there, from the coastline. And that is the unfortunate thing, reason why we lost almost 10,000 lives. Of course, the wave continued even beyond the Indian coastline and went and hit as far as Tanzania on the African shores. And that happened, I think, 7 to 8 hours later. We can imagine is the amount of energy which is generated by an underwater earthquake which brings about a tsunami.
So General Husnain, from Indonesia to India to, as you mentioned, Tanzania, why can't we figure out through the early warning signs, or what are those early warning signs that one should look for when such a disaster is about to happen?
It is very akin to, let's look at today's world. If today's world, I ask someone, what is a glof? I'm sure 99% of the people in the world will not be able to tell me what is a glof. G-L-O-F. Hmm. And then I would explain to them that it means a glacial lake outburst flood. Today, we are in a far, far better position with the information revolution that the world has seen, undergone, is still undergoing. There are far more scientific ways of teaching. There are video clips all over. YouTube is flooded with tsunamis which have happened in Japan and in the South Pacific and places like that. So it was just ignorance to an extent, and should I say a lack of information, which led to this phenomenon. Obviously, if knowledge was there, lives would have been saved in thousands.
I agree. So tsunami has actually highlighted the concept of cascading disasters, where one event triggers multiple interconnected crises. We have with us Sangeeta Devnath, Akashwani correspondent in Port Blair. Sangeeta, why is a comprehensive and integrated approach essential for managing cascading disasters like the Indian Ocean tsunami?
After the tsunami, many steps have been taken to protect islanders. Like, the district administration recognizes the need to have proactive, comprehensive and sustained approach to disaster management to reduce the detrimental effects of disasters on overall economic development of the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. The prime objective of any disaster management policy is establishing necessary systems, structures, programs, resources, capabilities and guiding principles for reducing disaster risks and preparing for and responding to disasters and threats of disasters in order to save lives and property.
So, General, what were the immediate challenges faced by the governments and the humanitarian organizations in responding to the disaster? And how are we prepared today from, and what have we learned from these challenges?
The situation at that time, since knowledge on tsunami itself, its devastating effects, was generally missing. Today, we are far better off with the National Disaster Response Force, for example, NDRF, which of course has 16 units today, but cannot be everywhere. They are in most places where there are possibilities of such disasters. But at that time, there was nothing there. So we made best use of what we could. In the sense, in the Andaman and Nicobar Islands, I think Air Force, the Navy, the local army units there put together a tremendous show. The local people all came together. Everyone coming together to support and help and assist whoever they could. There was a dearth of drinking water. For example, the entire area was submerged in seawater, huge amount of salinity everywhere. So people really didn't have drinking water even. It took some time before we could get our act together. But the government of India put its act together very fast. The armed forces got their act together. And immediately you found, particularly in the Andaman Nicobar Islands and along the coastal areas and to a great extent, assistance to Sri Lanka. That too went from India in a very, very big way. It was a part of, you may call it a disaster diplomacy or whatever, but that has been a traditional Indian policy, always come to the assistance of our neighbors. The Indian Navy undertook a tremendous mission to support Indonesia, the areas of Aceh, which were affected by the tsunami. So I think all in all, it was a very good all-of-government approach, which sort of helped us to overcome the issues.
Okay.
Of course, there were massive privations because of the ravages of material which just took place at that time. It took us a fair amount of time to be able to come out of it.
The aftermath of the 2004 tsunami, General Hasnani, led to the establishment of the Indian Ocean Tsunami Warning and Mitigation System, which I believe provides critical tsunami warning and mitigation services to 27 Indian Ocean Basin countries. There was also a multi-hazard early warning system. We would like you to comment on all these that was established post-2004.
One of the first things which happened after the tsunami, a year later, was the establishment of the organization to which I have the honor to belong to it. That is the National Disaster Management. And that came into being through the legislation called the National Disaster Management Act of India, which happened in December 5. It was a cascading effect of three disasters. First was the 1999 disaster, the Odisha super cyclone, which was called Pradeep. Then came the Bhuj earthquake, which also led to loss of almost 10,000 lives. And then came the Indian Ocean tsunami. Three of these disasters in a period of 5 years led to the enactment of the National Disaster Management Act, under which they put together the National Disaster Management Authority. They also raised the National Disaster Response Force, also set up an organization called the National Institute of Disaster Management, which is the knowledge center for disaster management in India. Of course, INCOIS, National Center for Oceanic Information Studies, was already in place earlier, but then a tsunami warning system was set up, on a full system to give us early warning of the possibility of tsunamis was set up. This, as you very correctly identify, has resulted finally in a capability to send out early warning to almost 26 to 27 countries. It's called the Indian Tsunami Early Warning Center at Hyderabad under the INCOIS. And that is doing some yeoman service for this complete region. And there was, of course, also the initiative, the Intergovernmental Oceanographic Commission of UNESCO, under the framework of that, this early warning setup. Today, we have a system by which a undersea earthquake can be detected less than 10 minutes, and information on that immediately be fed out the concerned state disaster management authorities to the National Disaster Management Authority. And we have today, in the last 2-3 years, put together a early warning system for the entire Indian subcontinent,
okay,
rather the whole of India.
Okay.
It's called the Common Alerting Protocol, and with it comes a particular app called Sachet. Now, I have strongly recommended to everyone that Sachet app is the app. Everyone should download this, because not only on tsunami, but every possible disaster, wherever you may be in India, you may be belonging to Chennai, but you have traveled to Kashmir, and if you have activated your Sachet app, any potential disasters in the Kashmir area will be conveyed to you on that particular app.
Okay.
And you will receive that warning in a matter of seconds the moment it is issued.
So NDMA's advice to people living in coastal areas.
Absolutely.
To install.
Absolutely.
On that note, General Hasnain, we would like to thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India's preparedness to mitigate tsunami-related disasters. The participants were Lieutenant General Retired Syed Atta Hasnain, Member, National Disaster Management Authority, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.